We are in John chapter number 15, John 15 verses 1 through 8, John 15 verses 1 through 8. We have been looking at these statements. I had a 6-hour conversation this week with a Seventh-day Adventist. And I was going to share tonight some of that conversation with you, just to inform you of certain beliefs, certain differences, certainly some problems and dangers, but I think that I'll hold that off till next week anyway, if the Lord would give me permission to do that. So, I want you to be informed and to know the differences there and what I learned that night and in those hours. But we have been looking at the I am statements of Christ, and we are on the last one tonight. We have seen that Christ is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the resurrection and the life. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. And tonight we're going to see that He says, I am the vine. So I want you to look at verse 1 of chapter number 15 of the Gospel according to John. Christ says this. He says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And all God's people said, Dear Heavenly Father, we certainly thank you for your word. We bow tonight before it and before its authority. There is no other authoritative book except the Word of God. The God-breathed voice of God here in the Word of God. And it carries all authority. And one day that authority will be clearly demonstrated, and we will be all come to the place where we must submit to it. God, we pray that you would have your will and way tonight as we look at your word, that you would instruct us, that you would clarify your who you are to us, that we would see you in a new and fresh way, that we would leave tonight rejoicing in our Christ, who is the true vine. Lead, guide, and direct us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let me start by saying this. There are two types of people in the world. Somebody might say, I know that. There are Jews and Gentiles. I'm not talking about Jews and Gentiles. According to Christ here, there are two types of people. Not three, two. Sometimes we want to make three, but there's two. The two types of people are those who bear fruit and those who don't. Those are the two types of people. Either you are in Christ bearing fruit, or you're not bearing fruit outside of Christ. Amen? Those are the only two types of people. And so Christ here talks to his disciples about being the true vine. You will remember in the Old Testament, Israel was identified as the vine, and that symbolism of the vine distinguished them as ethnic Israel. But being born an Israelite, being born a Jew, did not help you spiritually, or did not help you salvationally. Being a Jew did not mean that you were automatically in the kingdom of God by birth. For Christ is the true vine. And those who are coming to God must be come through the true vine of Christ. Jesus spoke these words on the night of the Passover meal. And he's not just dealing in hypothetical ideas here. He is dealing in actual reality. The disciples are going to see very shortly the reality of what Christ is talking about here, because one of their own is not going to remain with Christ. One of their own is not going to abide in Christ. Judas is going to betray Christ. And in his betrayal, in his lack of remaining, in his failure to abide, he demonstrates that he never was truly in the vine. Amen? It's not that you can be in the vine and get out of the vine. It's if you are not, if you don't remain, you never were in. Amen? And so I want to talk about this tonight, because all sorts of mistakes are made here in this text. And so let me just share with you three things that I wrote down here. There's so much here, we cannot possibly cover everything. Let me just cover three things and we'll go. Number one, fruitfulness is impossible apart from Christ. Fruitfulness, spiritual fruitfulness, is impossible. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's impossible apart from Christ. Jesus here says that every branch that is in him that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purge it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. He says this, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide or be in or engrafted into the vine, no more can ye except that you are engrafted in me or abide in me. I am the vine, Christ says, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we see here the dependence of the branches on the vine. The vine is not dependent on the branches. Sometimes I think we think that God is dependent upon us. The vine's not dependent upon the branches. The branches are dependent upon the vine. And the branches have no life outside of the vine. You with me? There's no life for the branches outside of the vine. Every branch that is not in the vine gets taken away, gets cut away because they're dead. There's no life outside of the vine. Judas Iscariot had no life. He had no spiritual life ever. Jesus said that he was a devil from the beginning. And some people want to say, well, he was a disciple, he was saved, and then he chose to get out. No, he never was in the vine. And him not abiding with Christ was the evidence that he never was there and he never had life. Because the branches can do nothing without the vine. Do you understand that tonight? Do you realize you're not the vine? Do you realize you are branches? And do you realize the total inability that you have to do anything spiritually outside of the empowering of Jesus Christ? None. None. Until you are engrafted in, until you are tapped into that life-giving force of Christ, you have absolutely no spiritual ability whatsoever. The dependence on the vine. And what are we dependent upon today? The vine, Christ. Notice not only the dependence on the vine, but notice the dual indwelling of the vine. I think this is important for us to see here. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, he that is engrafted into me, and I into him. So there is a dual indwelling in the vine. Not only are we in Christ, but Christ is in us. Amen? Not only are we in the vine, but the vine is in us. The life-giving, life-enabling, life-strengthening nourishment that comes to us through the vine is in us. It's not us. Let me put it this way. It's not us hanging on to Christ, but it is Christ firmly in us. Amen? I'm not hanging on to the vine, but the vine is keeping me in it. It is the dual indwelling of the vine. I'm in the vine. You're in the vine. But Christ is in us. And that fellowship and that intimacy of us in Him and Him in us is a wonderful, wonderful truth. So that those who aren't in the vine, also Christ is not in them. Right? It is important for us to understand that. It is not our efforts of staying in the vine. It is us remaining and being kept in the vine by the power of Christ. Fruitfulness is impossible apart from Christ. So, can there be any spiritual fruit outside of Christ? And the answer is no. None. Not a little. None. Amen? Why is that true? Because it is Christ that is in us, the Spirit that is in us, that is producing the fruit of the Spirit in us. The branches simply bear the fruit that is produced in the vine. Amen? Fruitfulness is impossible apart from Christ. We are not the source. We cannot bear any fruit in isolation. It is in Christ that this is true. Notice, secondly, not only that fruitfulness is impossible apart from Christ, but fruitfulness increases as the branches are pruned. Fruitfulness increases as the branches are pruned. Now, I want you to see something clear here. Notice in verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, speaking of God. And every branch, what's the next two words? That beareth what? Fruit. What does he do to it? he purgeth it, or he prunes it. Now, what is the prerequisite of pruning? Does God prune every branch? No. The branches that don't bear fruit, he cuts away. The only branches that God prunes, the only branches that God works with, the only branches that God cultivates are the branches that already bear fruit. Which means the branches that are already in the vine and the vine is in them. Amen. And so what happens is if we are in Christ through faith, if we are in Christ, then we will bear fruit. It's not something we have to work at doing. It will be a reality. Now, it may not be much fruit, but it will be some fruit. And what God does to those branches that are in Christ that bear some fruit, He prunes those branches so they will bear more fruit. Amen? And what Jesus says here is that it pleases the Father if we bear much fruit. Now, you look at those who you just see no pruning, and you realize why there's no pruning. Why they bear no more fruit. Why fruit doesn't increase. Why doesn't it increase? Why? Well, really, because there hasn't been any, and God doesn't prune trees that don't bear fruit. God doesn't prune trees or branches that don't bear fruit because those branches are dead because they don't have the life of God in them. But notice not only the prerequisite of pruning, notice the power of pruning. Pruning is an amazing thing. To me, it looks like you're killing the branch. It seems like a paradox to me that to get something to increase, you cut it back. But that's exactly what happens, right? As the one who knows all things, as the husbandman trims back and prunes the branches, what he does is he removes those things that are fruit inhibiting, and he gives direction to the fruit. So that the cutting back, so that the pruning away, so that the removal of things causes the branch that is in the vine to bear more fruit. It's amazing that the power of this pruning, and I want you to notice something. We are branches. We're not the source of the fruit. The vine is the source of the fruit. We're not even the source of increasing our fruit. God is in charge of that. And as God prunes us, and as God takes things away, and as God cuts away on us, we are able to bear much more fruit. But none of it is because of our efforts. It is because of the efforts of Christ and the efforts of God. Amen? And so fruitfulness is impossible apart from Christ. Fruitfulness increases as it is pruned. If we are bearing fruit, then God causes us to bear more fruit, not less fruit. Amen? Number three. Fruitfulness is the indication of discipleship. This is what he says. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. No fruit, you're not a disciple. Because you're not in the vine. And if you're not in the vine, Christ is not in you. And if Christ is not in you, you have no spiritual life. You are dead. only fit to be cut away and burned in the fire. Amen? Now let me say a couple of things here quickly. Fruitfulness is not primarily an external reality. Fruitfulness is an internal reality. Fruitfulness happens inside the vine. It evidences itself externally, but the work happens internally. What God is doing with us is not primarily an external thing. It's an internal thing that evidences itself and manifests itself externally. Don't make the mistake of reversing that, of thinking that now that I'm in Christ, I must do external things and external works. I argued hard the other night that while it is true that we are to work out our own salvation, it is Christ who is working in us and through us. While we may bear fruit, it is God who works in us that is producing that fruit. And it is not God doing His part and us doing our part. You listening to me? It is not that Christ came and took care of His part, and now it's up to us to do our part. It is God and it is Christ doing it all. Are you with me? Because in the discussion I had the other night, I learned that what is believed there is that Christ died on the cross to forgive all the sins of the person who comes to Christ up to that point. And from that point till death, it's up to me. You with me? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. If it's up to me at any point, I'm in deep, deep trouble. Amen? I tried to argue that when Christ died on the cross, all of our sins are nailed there with Him. Not part, but all of my sins are nailed there with Him. All my past sins, all my present sins, all my future sins, so that my rest is in Christ. Never in me. Because if any part of it is me, it's a works-based salvation. Right? It's not up to me. And this is the deal. I can come to Christ, according to this, I can come to Christ, be saved, be forgiven for all of my past sins, and then fail to repent of any future sins and not be saved. Doesn't that sound like it's up to me? You with me? They make salvation external. And it's even not fruit-bearing that they look at. It's keeping the law. You see, keeping the law is external, isn't it? I can keep the law. I can keep holy the Sabbath. I cannot kill. I cannot steal. I can honor my father and mother. I can have no other graven images. All of that is external things, in a sense. Although Christ made that untrue when He said that you can break the law by your lust, your anger. But fruit is not external primarily. fruit is internal first that works its way out externally. What is fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness. Those are the things that Christ, that the Spirit of God produces in us that we bear. Not external observances, amen? It's like, you know, around Christmas time, people have these beautiful wreaths, and they have these little, even at fall now, people do it. They stick little pumpkins around, and Denise just bought a couple of pumpkins the other day, and it looked just like a real pumpkin, but it's not, right? That's what external things are, just external-looking things stuck on a reef. Nothing real about it, amen? But fruit is an internal work. And if that work is happening internally, then it is secondly an indication or an identifying work of who we are in Christ. Because here's the truth. Only those who have believed in Christ have been grafted in. And all of those who have been grafted in will, by the power of God, remain. And those who are grafted in and remain will bear fruit. And God will purge the branches so that they bear more fruit. It is not that we are to do a work. It's that we are to rest in Christ. Christ does the work. Christ is the source of power. Christ is the source of life. Christ is the source of forgiveness, not us. So Christ looks at these religious, right? This is the deal. You have these religious people who proclaim to know God, to proclaim to follow God, to proclaim to be God's people, and yet they have no interest in Christ. They have no interest in Him, His life that comes through the vine. And while they may seem to be in Him in a very superficial way, they're not engrafted in, because to be engrafted in, you must believe and trust in Him. And those who are engrafted in abide, they remain, and they bear fruit. And everyone who's not gets taken away. And he says here, cast into the fire and are burned. Now, I must be taking that out of context, because according to that bunch that I argued with, there is no hell. There's just annihilation. But I'm here to tell you they are deceived. There is a real hell. There is a real eternal punishment for those who reject Jesus Christ. How is the Father glorified? By the work of God in us that proves that we are His disciples. How do you know that they're God's disciples? By their love for the brethren. Not by keeping the Ten Commandments. By their love for the brethren. The first fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. You with me? By their keeping the law, you shall know them. No, by their fruits you shall know them. And the only way we are bearing fruit is if we are attached to the vine. And the vine is Jesus Christ. And He produces that fruit in us. So that it looks like we're working out our own salvation, yet it is God in us, working in us and through us. Amen? Don't lose track of who you are. You're a branch. And a branch by itself has no life and has no ability to bear any fruit. You produce nothing. God produces everything. Amen. Our salvation is not produced by us. Our salvation is produced by Christ. Glory be to Him. Please don't rob Christ of His glory. Don't make Christ less than what He truly is. He did not do part of the job. He did all of the job. He did not provide part of the life. He provided all of the life. He did not forgive some of my sins. He forgave all of my sins. Glory be to Him. That was my thing. I told them, I said, you think this is a Sabbath issue? This is not a Sabbath issue. This is not a Ten Commandment issue. This is a Jesus Christ issue. That's what this is. You are diminishing the work of my Savior. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You. We're glad tonight that You are the vine. We are ecstatic that we are the branches who have been engrafted in to Christ through faith and repentance, and know that it is the power of God that keeps us into the vine, and we bear fruit because the power of God, the life of God, produces that in and through us. And we pray that You would cause more fruit to grow in and through us so that we would be identified as Your disciples, as Your people, and You would be glorified in and through us. In Christ's name we pray, and for Jesus' sake, amen.